adventurers, and welcome to our podcast, Good Morrow, the show that discusses all things Dungeons & Dragons. We are your co-hosts, Katie and Mandy. Today we are talking about character development of our first characters, twin sisters Adrina and Ariadne, and how we developed as players during our first homebrew campaign. Alrighty. This was like probably my all-time favorite campaign. It's also the first one, but so it has like that special nostalgic place. But absolutely. Still, it was just awesome.
It really was.
It was. Okay, so my first question I have for you is, why did you choose such a tragic relationship with your father from the startup? Or did you, and was it more of like Chris?
A little bit of both. So I think this goes back to what the parts of gameplay that I love the most as a D&D player. And I love like drama and intrigue and all of those other things. And if you look at, or things like that, if you look at my bookshelf, like my shelf is filled with stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So for me, I was like, okay, so what's the best way to get that as a player?
Okay.
That's to have this really complex relationship with a, generally, right, it should be, ideally, this should be an easy relationship. Now, I say that as a person who grew up without a father, so very romanticized idea for me.
Right.
Right? So I wanted a complex character like that with, now there are some layers of that tragedy that I did not pick. I didn't initially pick.
True.
That she thought, like, that whole thing about our brother dying, all of that, we didn't come up with that.
Right.
That was our DM. Right? And Chris came to me and was like, how do you want to react to that? Given the information that I just gave you, that you overheard a conversation, and at the time, Ariadne interpreted it as that's our father selling our brother's soul, basically, and sacrificing him. Proven false later, but that's what Ariadne really thought.
Right.
And his question to me was, how do you want to play that?
Yeah.
Like, do you want to, because he gave me an option, said you can either have been keeping up with your princessly duties, because you were trained to be this very courtly person, a courtier, really, because I had a higher charisma score, right? So
you
someone
did.
Who could do a lot of these other things that were very noble-esque. Or do you want to have gone against that? And I thought about it, and I was like, you know what? I think it'd be more fun and add a little bit more flavor and add a little bit of that drama and intrigue to be angry, to have that little bit of a dark side. Whereas I could have gone the other way, and I think it would have, Ariadne would have been a completely different character. I think she was incredibly defined by that relationship with her father, which was incredibly complex, even towards the end after everything had been, you know, resolved.
Yeah, it really was. And it really did define like Ariadne in general, like for the whole campaign. A lot of her choices and relationships because of said choices. My second question that I have is, not too many levels in, around we've decided like level 5 or level 6, you changed your subclass from Arcane Trickster to Soul Knife. Why did you do that?
So a couple things. One, I talked about this in the last episode, but I was not a very good caster, right? Like, it just was not, it was not jiving.
Casting is difficult anyway. I don't care what anyone says.
It's like, I just, my brain hadn't clicked in to that yet. And I think I'm better at it now. I'm playing a full caster now, and I think I'm getting the hang of it.
You are.
Well, thank you. So number one, I wasn't very good at it. And number two, I think the DM very kindly noticed I wasn't good at it. He was like, I'm going to provide an avenue for Mandy to back off here. Because I had previous, that was right after we had gotten access to the Soul Knife subclass on D&D Beyond.
Which I thought was awesome.
And I had gotten to look over it, and I was like, this is bomb. Like, this is super, super cool. I really like it. So I think, this is neither confirmed nor denied, or like confirmed with the DM, But in my head, Chris was like, okay, so Mandy really likes this subclass. This is very limited magic. And I made a dumb decision and my character died and was resurrected. So really it was more, I'm not good at this class and I am not one of those really graceful people that can have fun when they're not good at something.
Which
I'm just
like
not.
I think that's like a testament to like our mighty DM that he was able to recognize that, which I can confirm for you because benefits of being married to the DM you can
I love that you
sometimes
PG'd that.
I did PG it, so we're all clear. Sometimes you get little tidbits here and there, and I definitely remember now that you say all this him talking about how we had noticed that you would talk about like Soul Knife, or you'd talk to Chris about it and just got so excited, and he's like, I think Mandy really likes Soul Knife. And you could see the wheels
How
turning.
can we fix this? But it
Yes.
was also just a cool story point, right?
Yeah, it really
Right.
was.
So I think it was a really cool way for Chris to kind of move that story along and also provide me a way to have a narrative reason for Ariadne to no longer have access to this magic. So when that happened, I actually changed feats to, because before I had like Wood Elven magic as a feat, I took that away because to me it made sense that she would lose access to some of this magic. And I just put that feat into skills. So I think I only had one spell and it was like Misty Step because I was Fey touched.
Yes, I do remember that. Was it difficult to have that transition, like to take away spells and
It was
just
honestly just a big relief for me at that point. Because I was feeling so stressed during gameplay about which spell to use or about like how to use spells or what I could be doing here, whereas if I'm just saying I'm going to investigate for traps, all I'm doing is rolling, right? Or it really took away a lot of the decision fatigue that you get as a caster, where like right now I'm a sorcerer, I have access to like 50 different spells, and every time we have a long rest, because Chris lets us change out our spells, right? I go like, oh, why? I don't know what we're doing today. I don't
Am I gonna run into like combat or not?
like what. How do we want to use my magic today? So that was difficult. Well, not difficult, right? Because I could be like, well, Ariadne has one option. She's either going to steal something, which she doesn't do very often, unless she's mad at the person she's stealing from.
This is true.
Or she's going to like try to sneak an inappropriate book into Adrina's bag because that was a running gag that I had. Or she's going to
Constantly.
attack things. Right, like those were my options. Just trying to, it was a good way for me to learn the game while still have a really great narrative.
Yeah, I think
So
so too.
wasn't difficult at all for me.
Good. That's awesome. Okay. Let's see. My next question I have is, where did you get your inspiration from for Ariadne?
So really So what was really funny about her character creation is we had all agreed that we were going to start playing a homebrew campaign. Chris had just told us that he was willing to do that. We were all very excited. And then like a week later, I get a phone call from Chris, which was really funny that because we're all in a group chat, right? So typically if Chris wants something from me, he just texts the group chat. So if Chris calls, at that point, I was like, oh, what's going on? So Chris called. He's like, hey, so Katie created her character. And I was like, awesome, cool. And he was like, how do you feel about being twin sisters? And immediately I was like, yes. So half of it was already like the physical aspect was already done. But initially there was some talk about us being identical, but I threw in like, what if it was cool if we were mirror opposites? Right? And we were. That's something we ended up going with where not Ariadne, Adrina had very light hair, Ariadne was dark. And I wanted to kind of play with that a little bit for her personality, and that Ariadne was very kind, but she was also a little bit of a wild card, I think, in that she was very reactive. So she was typically someone who would sit back and let things happen unless somebody she cared about was in danger. And so I kind of played with that because Adrina was the person who would jump in immediately.
Exactly.
And Ariadne, it took her a little bit to get to that same level. I think there's a particular situation that I'm remembering where we were negotiating with a beholder. And Ariadne was totally cool leaving this group of slaves.
Oh, that's right.
And so was Dre.
He was?
Yeah, Dre was cool, if I remember correctly. It
Oh
was
my gosh.
somebody wasn't somebody was with me and being cool, and somebody else wasn't. Or and Adrina and Eldarion
Oh,
were
I think
not.
you're right. Yes. I think
Yeah.
Eldarion was the first one that was like, no, because he was a cleric of Lathander. And we were all like,
No, he's a cleric of Maliki.
oh, Maliki. And then later on, wait.
Then he became a paladin of Lathander
Paladin, that's right. Okay.
later.
I
Yeah.
forgot. Like,
Yeah, there's so much. There is so
there's
much lore and so much switchy
so
switch.
much. Getting a glare from
See,
the DM.
he's listening. He should have
Yeah.
just joined.
Mark this DM counter one. Don't butcher my lore.
Let it be.
So,
So let it be said. So
Caitlin,
let it be done.
so Katie has a tendency. So, we're going to call you the lore butcher and I'm the lore goblin. That's what we're
Wow.
going to say. Yeah, I think this works very well.
That's so rude.
So, a lot of it was made up, but also it was in reaction to what I assumed your character would be.
Okay.
So, because we were trying really hard not to talk through some things, you and I
Yeah.
got to talk a lot because our characters would have grown up together.
Right.
So we would have known each other's personalities and different things like that. And but I didn't know anything about Jason's character.
Yeah.
Things like that. But I also tried to pull quite a bit from Riversong from Doctor Who
That's right.
because
I remember
I
that.
adore her and
She is great.
she was just a great character. There was also, I just love that character so much. So I tried to pull a little bit of her personality. Like Ariadne was very gregarious in some levels, and she was also a lot more confident in what she was doing, which I think actually translated very well to how she was raised versus like you were allowed to play in the forest and,
With
be
the
a
trees
ranger.
and the little,
Yeah.
furry animals.
Yeah. And Ariadne was very much kept inside, and she became, like the Lieutenant of Shadyleaf, which was like the spy network of Erlon. There was, which I don't know, there was so much that I pulled from, but most of it was like it evolved a little bit as we were playing.
Okay.
And I think you have to do that as a character, right? Because I had a base of, okay, this is how I'm going to react XYZ. And I hadn't learned that the DM could lie yet. So I assumed that Tybalt, our father, did actually sell Liar's soul. So
Gosh,
I held on to that tight.
it's like a personal offense. Like, how dare you lie to
How
me?
dare you? I remember when we looked and we figured it out because you were told something way different.
yeah.
And we didn't discuss it in game. Until there was one night where you as Adrina got really upset with Ariadne because
Yes.
I said something about our father. I can't
You
remember what
did. I don't
happened.
remember. It's been like 3 years.
Yeah, but
Gosh.
no, it was a gradual, slightly inspired by Riversong. That was I remember one thing I wrote in there, like in her character sheet, like I knew a couple things about her that I wanted. I knew I wanted her to be in love with somebody, or had previously been in love with somebody that like her family did not approve of, because I just thought that was awesome. Because I just thought it was real cool. And then, I mean, it bit me in the butt later, for
Yes.
sure.
Yes.
Yeah, it
One of
really
those
did.
crazy ex-boyfriends that like is obsessed but also like evil. But like in a sad way.
It was really sad. We're gonna have to dedicate an entire episode to explaining that character.
It's
We could talk about our favorite villains, honestly, because
my
Aelric is one of my
God.
favorites. I thought
He
he
is.
really complex,
I loved him as a
and
villain.
it was a fun time for Ariadne to kind of be the main character in that situation, right?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
That was fun, but
we should definitely do that. You know what? You know how they have like what is that one show that you were in? Like Shakespeare Abridged or something like that?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, we should do that with
the
our campaign.
Works of Shakespeare.
The complete works of, you know, Erlon Abridged.
That would be amazing.
And they could turn it into a musical. That'd be
Chris
great.
Would hate it. That's delicious. And I think we should keep doing it. Okay, so that question
below,
had more parts to
see
it.
This.
Yeah. Just do
okay.
Highlights.
No, that's a great. That's I love everything that you said. So let's see. I wrote down a couple different questions. When do you feel that you really started getting the hang of playing D&D? Since this was our first campaign, your first, I guess, technically your second character, because we had the one little.
We don't count
campaign.
The first one.
We
honestly.
Don't. It's,
I don't count it.
Yeah. So
getting the hang of it.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting is I still don't feel like I've gotten the hang of it.
Yeah.
Like I've DM'd several times.
Mm-hmm.
And there's still times where I'm like, I don't know, could be. Let me look it up. But I think when I got the hang of at least Ariadne and really fell in love with the class of Rogue, I think it was probably about 6 months in where I didn't have to look at Chris and be like, do I get sneak attack? That's the thing.
Yeah.
Do I, you know, disengage? Question mark. You know.
Yeah.
When you gain a little bit of confidence, and I think that changes with each class that you, mm-hmm. like with each character you play. So I haven't repeated the class yet. I've done a Warlock Paladin multi-class. So that was a Hexadin.
Mm-hmm.
That was our second campaign. I've done a Soul Knife Rogue first campaign. And this campaign, I'm an Aberrant Mind Sorcerer, right? So I'm still getting the hang of all of these. This last one I think is probably the most challenging for me because I did make this character the most different out of my other characters. So there's a level of challenge in RP and really just the mechanics of the game,
mm-hmm.
right? Because Sorcerer, I would wager, like maybe it's just because maybe I'm dumb, but I feel like it's a challenging class and that you have to remember sorcery points and like when can you use Quicken Spell? When can you use Twin Spell? Because it's not on every spell. It has to be on a specific type of spell. And like, you know, and then like, okay, but when do you use Titan Spell? Blah, 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 blah. Right? There's mm-hmm. so many different levels unless like compared to Hexadin, right? Where it's like, I'm going to Divine Smite and then Eldritch Smite, and then I'm going to kill it. Those are the options.
It's true.
Okay? I never really use spells in combat as that character because it cut out Divine Smite. But spells are really all I have as the sorcerer. So it's a little bit more challenging. So I'm going to say I still don't have the hang of D&D. I want to say I'm amazing, but I think you just have to keep learning.
Yeah, I like that. I would agree with that. Not that you don't have the hang of D&D, but that we're close.
Wow.
Love you.
That word. How does spiritual weapon work again?
Wow. Personal.
How many times can you summon incarnation? Or
you know. but just that, yeah, we are constantly learning because there are so many different classes and variations and just so much that we're constantly learning that they're adding all the time, especially if you have a homebrew campaign. But I agree.
There's so much freedom in that, I think, though, that it's really, it's fun. It's just mm-hmm. also, I think it can be a little intimidating, right? We're like,
oh, yeah.
Ooh, like, source books, there's like a million of them, and there's different classes in all of them and different backgrounds, and that's another layer to it, right? Where there's backgrounds and feats and, woo!
It can be a little overwhelming.
A lot, but it's fun.
Yeah.
It can be overwhelming, for sure. But no, you just keep learning and keep growing. I think maybe if like this character that I have dies, because let's be real, we're level 5 now.
Yeah.
I don't even have 40 hit points.
Oh gosh. You're a little squishy.
Yeah. I super squishy. I'm very squishy. I'm trying very hard to be careful, but also there's just so much that happens there. So maybe if she dies, I'll come back to Rogue, because I did really love it.
You did.
But
You're really good at Rogue. It's always good to have a backup character, we have learned. If and when your character dies.
yeah, part of me is like, maybe I should just send Chris the character now. Like, just, hey, if I die, can you just have like something built in for this character at some point? Just a thought. I don't know.
I
Just
mean,
because
it's a good
in his
idea.
ample free time.
Yes, because he's so, so much free
He's
time.
so just bored.
He
Yeah.
is. DMs don't spend, hours and
No,
hours.
no.
No, not at
Like,
all.
really, what are they whining about?
I know.
Kidding. So
We're
much kidding,
gonna have
people.
all this like DM hate at the bottom.
Yeah, no, we're kidding. We're absolutely kidding.
That actually wraps up my questions that I have. I could keep going
Okay.
forever, but I will turn the time to you if you have any questions for me.
I have so many questions.
Oh boy.
So many questions. So, number one, why did you want to be twin sisters?
I don't even remember if I came up with the idea. I actually think it may have been Chris. So, he came up with the idea of twin sisters, probably because we're best friends and we act so much alike and we finished our sentences and, So he came up with the idea instantly, like you loved it, was like, yes, this would be amazing. I would love this. What's funny is opposite of what you thought and what you ended up doing, which I loved and it was perfect. When he first thought or came up with the idea and introduced it to me before he talked to you, I was thinking, oh, this will be great. We're gonna be best friends.
I'm so sorry.
Eventually we were. So I, Adrina anyway, she's so just like happy and a little bit ditzy. She
A little?
don't be rude.
I joke. I joke.
yeah, yes. But so that's I mean, okay, let's be real. It's a little bit like my personality. And so I was just as excited. And I was like, oh, this is going to be so great. And everything's going to be wonderful. We're going to have so much fun. And we did all of that. But we start off, and I'm like, oh my gosh, she hates me. I loved it. It was such a surprise in a great way and provided for so much. Oh, just like backstory and entertainment and like depth that and like conflict. It was juicy and wonderful. I loved it.
Yeah, no, I think I agree. I assumed you were going to be like, we're going to be best friends. And I was like, gameplay is going to be hard. Because one of the things that I remember thinking is I wanted Ariadne to like mourn the loss of our relationship
And you did
because it
that.
would have been very different, right? Because I would assume at some point that Ariadne had come to Adrina and been like, I overheard this and dad did it and you wouldn't have listened, right? So many layers, right? And I think we both, you especially, I think you did a very good job playing into that. It was a really, really fun dynamic to play.
It was.
And like, I really would love to do it again. It was so fun. And I think it really, like, it added so much to that campaign. There's something special about having, I think, characters that already know each other
Oh,
in a
100%.
campaign. Like, Faye and I have talked about, like, next campaign, whenever this one ends, or if both of our characters die, because let's be real, the elves just can't live. I don't know
No.
what's going on.
Got like some bad
But
juju.
it's real, real rough. Maybe I can, like, do a cleansing or something on my dice, but
Time out, Jill.
we've talked about it would be kind of interesting to be like a divorced couple forced to adventure together or something
Oh,
like that. Like it would
I
be
like
very
that.
interesting. So we've talked about doing something like that because there's something to be said about having a history with another player's character, right?
Yes, ooh, it's spicy. I like it. Do
Right?
it.
So week we're going to hear about how Katie's character killed my character.
Yes, just for this.
For this. And then you just have to wait for Cyrus to die, Jason's character. Which one?
I mean,
one?
I can, you know, help that along.
I mean, I'm the only one that's actually saving him.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys are just like, it's fine. I'm like, the cleric is dying. We need him.
Yeah. You know, I was going to save him that one time, but I digress. Go ahead.
Yeah, sure. I don't believe you. So, you've played games, like, not like D&D, but, like, you've played World of Warcraft, and that's the only one I can remember. I'm sorry, I have a bad friend. You've played stuff like that before. So, I'm curious, how much of, like, that did you bring into your gameplay and, like, character creation of Adrina?
Okay. That's a good question. Interestingly enough, the name Adrina actually came from World of Warcraft. So,
oh, it did?
Yeah. Well, my character in World of Warcraft. So I had never played, World of Warcraft or Guild Wars or any game on the computer before I married Chris. You know, when I was little, I grew up playing, like, Zelda, The Ocarina of Time, I mean, Diddy Kong Racing, all of the classics. Do you not know these? Oh my gosh.
Remember, video games aren't really my thing.
No, I know. So just, like, classic games like that, or Super Smash Brothers, just lots of games. My friends and I, we'd all have, like, slumber parties and play games together. And loved them. But I mean, I didn't play them from, gosh, when I was like a preteen or, well, okay, maybe like 12 until, ooh, again, we got married. And all of that kind of came back because Chris liked games. And so he introduced me to World of Warcraft. He taught me how to play, got me all set up and everything. And they have a lot of like character creation in there where we talked a little bit about it last time we spoke about like how you can take, you know, they have like five different faces you can pick from and you can customize your own little avatar. And he helped me come up with the name of Adrina and I loved it. And so it just kind of became my go-to name, and his Adralian was his go-to name.
I remember when that character got introduced and you were like, that's an important character. Chris loves that name.
I did. Very much so. Caught on. Which is so funny because later on he's like, I wasn't planning on like keeping Dre around and having him be like this huge character. And I was like, then you shouldn't have named him that.
Or you shouldn't have been such a cool character.
That
we went
too.
To so much length to keep that character around.
We did.
And absolutely loved that character.
Yep.
But
I mean,
anyway.
Clearly, that was another thing he said. He's like, I wasn't planning on you falling for Dre. You were supposed to fall for someone else. And I was like, again, Adralian, Adrina.
I'm sorry.
And
Dre
was your character.
Compared to Dre is just way not cool.
I know. I was like, and you
Grain
played him as yourself.
Was boring.
I know.
Grain was boring compared to Dre. I'm sorry. He was.
Yeah.
Very nice guy. He
very
got
nice
more
guy.
Interesting. Once Chris realized you found him boring, I think.
he's like, oh, I can fit you in this awful love triangle. It'll be great. And I hated everything.
That was my favorite part of that campaign. I'm not going to lie. Like, it political intrigue, F that. Watching you try to deal with a love triangle between your husband's two characters.
Can I tell you
it was
psychological,
awesome.
Like...
it was fantastic. And the one time I tried to interfere, I wasn't even trying to interfere to be mean. I was literally trying to, like, I psychically connected to Dre just to give him a heads up. Hey, FYI, this might be awkward because Rain and Adrina are, like, kind of a thing, and then she forgot to talk to him for 6 months.
Yeah.
But he's been waiting for her because he's a nice boy.
Yeah, felt terrible. It's just a very weird place to be. I do not want to be there again. Let's hope he doesn't.
That was my
one.
That was my favorite thing that happened in that camp. Like, as soon as that was brought up, I was like, yeah. I just.
Gosh, like watching Dr. Phil with popcorn.
It was awesome because Ariadne's like, I already did my stuff. My boyfriend got interrogated in front of all the nobles in Erlon.
Yeah.
And you weren't there to help me. So here you go.
Karma.
I'm not helping you at all. No. But okay, so that's interesting. So you created Adrina. She was very happy and all that stuff. What I'm curious, how do you feel like she evolved? Because while this character was very happy, I think, throughout the campaign, it felt like she, I don't want to say got darker. I feel like she almost grew up a little bit, right? Like she felt very I don't know if you meant to do this, but to me, she felt a little bit naive in the beginning. And then Ariadne felt jaded comparatively, right?
Yes. So, I don't know what this says about me, but I really did kind of just take myself and put her in as the character in a lot of ways. And so, I mean, my upbringing was a little bit like stars and sunshine. And so it just kind of was similar for her.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that, by the way. I think it's adorable.
Thank you.
I want my children to think back on their childhood and stars and sunshine. Like, honestly.
As time went on, I did kind of develop her a little bit as, I think you had mentioned earlier, a little bit darker in the sense that she was starting to experience life. She'd already had some really awful things happen, like her brother, you know, their brother being murdered and so many others. But going out and actually fighting and interacting with people and making mistakes because she was so naive and she was so flighty. And she came across to a lot of people as a spoiled, just princess who had whatever she wanted and she could just say whatever. And it, like, she was always nice.
Yeah, it was always done in a really endearing way.
Yes.
The only time that I can remember being like, whoa, with Adrina was when you met Jason's character, who was a half elf.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
And you leaned into that racism real hard.
I did. Yes. She was very like, racist at first. I did forget about that.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. He was a half elf. Mm-hmm. And so was Dre, interestingly enough. And
Dre
so
technically wasn't half elf. He was half wood elf, half drow.
Oh, that's true.
So still full
that's
elf.
That's true. But the drow was like a big thing at first. And she like hated
him
drow for it.
At first. Yeah.
And then she was all about it.
Yeah.
We're just going to stop there. So yeah, all of it. She so many experiences that really helped her. And I like what you said, that she grew up. Because really that's what it was. Especially now that we found out that she was the younger sister, even though she thought her entire life that she was the older sister. So rude, by the way.
Ariadne was really cool with it, but can we talk about how it was weird that neither one of us picked up on the fact that Ariadne would have been the older? Because Chris had mentioned to me, even like in that same conversation where he was like, what do you think about being twin sisters? He was like, so let's talk about your character. And being like, you were trained to be like a member of the court, you were very polite, you have all these graces and things like that. And then there was your character where you did not have that. And then Lyre, what our brother who was murdered, was like the heir to the throne, right? So then he died. So why would you be the older and the heir to the throne if you're being allowed to just go off forever?
Like, I don't know how we didn't pick up on that.
How we missed it. But to be honest, Ariadne almost abdicated. Like, it was very, very close to where she, when it was announced, after we had gotten back home to Erlon, she was this close to be like, no, it's a bad idea. And at that point, it wasn't selfish.
Yeah.
To not, for her, the motivation was the kingdom doesn't trust me because I effed around and I found out very easily. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But no, you did such a good job with the evolution of Adrina. Would you have done anything differently with her character? Like, are there any choices you think back on? Not mistakes you made as a player, but like any choices you made for that character that you were like, I kind of wish I had done this differently.
Hmm. I wish I had done anything different in like my character and character development.
Or like just gameplay. Do you ever look back outside of like admitting you know Drow hand sign or forgetting you have mage hand
in front of the entire game? You know, really the only thing I can think of that I wished, and I wished it at the time, that I was better at, and I tried so hard and I always like just ate it every time, was her awful, terrible charisma. I wanted so badly. Wait, actually, did she have good? I think she had good charisma. And I just did terrible at it. Or was.
I feel like she had bad charisma because I remember not getting frustrated with you, but just laughing because you kept trying to go in and be the face of the group.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
And I would be like, I have a charisma mod of +3.
That's right.
And I chose to have a proficiency and expertise in persuasion and deception.
That's right. Okay.
Please let me do this.
Now I
remember. Because you were like, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to roll good. And
yes. Like, now I remember. Yes. So because Adrina thought that she was the eldest.
And
she had the responsibility to be the diplomatic, you know, face. I went into every situation thinking, okay, I have to be the one that talks, that sets the tone, because I am in charge here. I am the leader. And
to be fair, Ari was kind of witchy for quite a, like, kind of a smart Alex. So,
yes, she was very much so. And then I was not, but I was
not charming.
No. And I tried so hard to be. Yeah. And it just bit me in the butt. But made for great experiences and content and a lot of laughs.
Oh, absolutely. No, she was a great character. I had forgotten your charisma roles in that game.
Absolutely awful. And I seriously, I every time I tried so hard, so
you
hard.
You did. It was really funny because like I did not try as hard in that aspect, but because I had such high roles.
Yes.
It looked like she was more charming. I think we ended up just playing it as people weirdly just liked her,
mm-hmm.
even though she was kind of a jerk for like the first little while.
I think that was part of it, is they liked the fact that you were just straight up and forward in front. And whereas with me, they're all like,
So another thing that I actually wasn't going to ask you, but then we mm-hmm. recorded some stuff yesterday when we were talking about the D&D Direct announcement.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned to you that Dritz has an animal companion, you know,
yes.
Guinevere. I'm curious. So, because Chris loves these books. So I started thinking about it. Did Chris introduce the idea of you having a panther companion?
So I chose the panther. Yeah, he gave me options. Like, these are the animals you can pick from. And I have always loved big cats. And I instantly fell in love with the panther. I remember when I first created Adrina, she was a little bit different as well. She was, I don't remember the technical term off the top of my head, but I was, maybe it was Beastmaster. Mm-hmm. I think maybe that's what I was. And then I ended up changing it because I learned the mechanics more and I wanted to be able to do more damage as myself than just my pet.
Yeah.
Because, you know, she likes to be the center of attention.
Who doesn't? That's the whole point of this game on some level, okay?
Well, I changed it to, now I got to look up my D&D Beyond.
When you first started creating the character, you thought you wanted to play Beastmaster. Chris talked to you and said your companion's going to be able to do more damage if you go with Beastmaster,
which
is fine.
Which I did not want.
But you didn't want that, so you switched to Hunter.
Yes.
And then later you multi-class into Fighter, which is another question I have, but we can discuss later.
But yes. And so then because he was homebrewing, he allowed me to summon Nyx as a pet, but also use as some damage, which I loved. So basically I got the best of all worlds because.
So my next question, which we kind of just touched on, is later on in the campaign, you chose to multi-class into Fighter and you went into Battlemaster, which was our like the king, King Tybalt, our father, who was such a pivotal figure for both of us in this campaign, was his class. So I'm curious, why did you decide to do that?
So I had no intention of multi-classing at all. I did not want to, because I saw like everyone else doing it. I was like, no, I just want to stay this. I want to be true. And as time went on, and she was already super close to Tybalt, but more so, she just became even more and more closer, I guess, to him. And it just kind of felt like a good nod to him. I don't know, like a respect thing, or this, that she, instead of just always trying to take the defense or not fight people or protect in that way, she wanted to be on the offense, and she wanted to fight. She wanted to be a lot more like him, I guess, in that way. And so that's when she took on the Battle Master, and I freaking loved it. I already loved her, but once she had that as well, oh my gosh, I felt unstoppable. I was like, this is so amazing.
You were unstoppable for a lot of time. You had Sharpshooter, and then you had Horde Breaker.
Yeah,
there was lots of really cool things that Adriana did. I thought it was interesting. Do you remember, because I remember, I'm curious if you did it on purpose, do you remember when you selected Battlemaster, or like when you decided to do that? Because I looked at my notes, so I know this is accurate.
Was it after I fought, or you fought him, or someone fought him? No.
Fought who?
Tybalt.
No. No, that wasn't it.
No, okay, when was it?
So you ended up doing it about two sessions after we learned that Erlon was Menzo Baranzon's newest target for a war. Did you do that on purpose?
No.
It was a really cool nod. It was very subtle, and I didn't pick up on it until later, but it almost felt like Adriana grew up very quickly in a short amount of time to be like, sometime, like, I have to protect what I love, and really at the core of both of these sisters was their kingdom, was their people. And I think that changed a little bit and probably shifted a little bit more, where Ariadne at first was very resistant to being the heir and taking that place over and being a leader, but she fell in love, back in love with her people once she realized it still stood for what she thought it did in the beginning when she was young. And Adriana was more like, I want to go off into the world. And of course, now you and Dre are exarchs, and you're just going everywhere, which is super cool.
I love it.
But so was that done on purpose?
No. No, at least not that I remember. No, it must have just been, I guess, like I had said, and like you had also mentioned, this, the timing of it all, and just the fact that, yeah, it was all about protecting her family, her kingdom. And it also kind of brought back, now that I'm remembering a little bit more, Lyre, the older brother that was murdered, that died. He, lore little dump, he died protecting Adriana. And as time went on, she would have more memories of this and remember everything. And he died protecting her from this huge war at the time years ago. And so it kind of felt like it was the same again. And he had a sword. And so it was also a nod to him a little bit as well. So she, and again, I'm remembering. it was a nod to both Lyre and Tybalt, and to protect the way they did, and to fight the way they did as well. So
I'd forgotten about the sword. So you ended up inheriting Lyra's sword.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really, really cool, because it ended up being like our family's sword.
Yes.
Right. So you could talk to our ancestors a little bit.
Yes,
that's
like a part of like
their
spirit or soul in it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like you could talk to our grandfather, who was a real big jerk.
Delight. super racist. That's where it came from.
Yeah, and Lyre was there, if I remember correctly.
Yeah,
do you think you would do a Battlemaster again?
Oh yeah, I love Battlemaster. I almost did Battlemaster this time. but I really wanted to just hit my whole screen. I really wanted to do something way different, like you. You and I both went way opposite than either of us had ever done with our characters before, which has been really fun. I definitely, however, want to do like the full blown Battlemaster that's just like a bad A.
So we talked about how Tybalt was kind of a central figure for Ariadne and really like informed a lot of her character decisions, either like good or bad, right? Because when she was angry at him, she definitely made decisions in spite of him.
Oh, 100%. Like the exact opposite, I feel like, sometimes.
Of what he would have done or what he would have had her do. And sometimes I don't think Tybalt made the right decisions. Like sometimes I think Tybalt was wrong.
Yeah.
I to this day. So I'm curious, do you feel like there was a character for you that was more pivotal or like informed you more?
I think at first it started off as Tybalt, which is why she just did everything that he said. And it like the first half of the campaign, it was Tybalt. But then as more history and lore and memories came about from Lyre, then it became probably more Lyre as time went on. It didn't help that when our DM gave me the massive lore dump from the memory that she had about Lyre saving her and protecting her and then ultimately ended up dying because of it. It was like a one-off with just him and me. One night.
And you called me crying.
Oh, yeah.
I was crying.
I was in tears the entire time because he is so just vivid in his explanations and detail and story that I was like, this is my actual brother. And it was terrible. And it was so real. And I was a mess. It was awful. Just absolutely awful. And he did this to us so many times. We're going to do another episode talking about
it. I cry all the time. Like, I honestly, do you think we could podcast with a PowerPoint? That would be hard in audio, but like times the DM has traumatized us because I got to run and list.
Yes, you do.
Okay.
It's terrible. Like, just ugly crying. It's not
like
great.
Tapping on Aoric, right? Like, after he died, I went through his stuff.
Oh, I forgot.
And he kept
that.
A letter from Ariadne saying, "We'll be together forever. Love, Ariadne." When she was like 20, right?
Awful.
And I was like, and he kept it? What? And then then Aelric comes back into play when she killed her, like when she died on purpose.
Yes.
He came and like testified for her.
Oh, that's
in
right.
In the trial of Celeborn. Yeah. It was uncool on a lot of levels, but also just made for amazing storytelling. But it was also like, oh gosh.
It was. It's like reading amazing novels or watching
better,
but so much better because it's you.
It's like you're doing it with like half the stuff Chris couldn't do, right? Mm-hmm. Unless we did it or unless we were, you know, really good at improv. Okay. And he asked me to tell him a secret or my biggest regret or what weighs on me the most. I can't remember how he phrased it.
Yeah.
And Chris looked at me and I was like, oh, I haven't thought about this. And Halimar pulled up the face of Aelric.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And I improvised, I helped him murder someone.
I remember that.
And that came up later.
Yes, it did.
And it was a really cool storyline, but it was not something Chris and I had discussed at all.
Mm-hmm.
And it ended up being a pivotal point at a couple times, right?
Yeah.
Like, Adrelian's brother tried to kill me.
Yeah.
To
see if you were actually like honest.
Still
and
working with Aelric. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to Good Morrow. We'd love to hear about your first campaign and what character you played. So comment below. And if you haven't yet played D&D, what in the Nine Hells are you waiting for? Get out there and find some friends. And please subscribe so you can continue your D&D entertainment and pleasure by yours truly, Mandy and Katie. Stay tuned for next week, where we will be discussing our favorite classes. Well met, friends, and we will see you on the morrow.